it's Sabrina with Radio Buzz 101. I'm here with Tater from 10 Years. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just trying to be up at the crack of noon.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So you guys were just in Memphis?
Yes, we were. A sold out show at, what, Minglewood? I don't know. My wife came up. We went to Sun Studios, and it was awesome.
Very cool. You guys have been on tour with Breaking Benjamin. How was that?
Amazing. I love Ben. I mean, I've known Ben for probably 10 years, no pun intended. And they played Knoxville, and I went down there and had a long talk with him. I was like, hey, we bought this little bus. We can go tour for cheap. Please take us out on tour. Basically, something like that. And then the next day, our manager called and was like, Tater, I don't know what you said, but you got 2 weeks, and it turned into 3 weeks, and that it's probably going to turn into... Because Ben's at a point in life, he doesn't need to do it. He's got enough money to whatever. But he does it with the bands that he loves, and there was a lot of... We loved their band and, you know, their crew and all of them. And it was just, like, one of the best tours I remember doing in my whole life. So, just a wonderful thank you to them. And getting to play, you know, it's disheartening in this world when you go out and you're playing shows in front of 100 or 200 people, and it's just like, man, I'm 35 years old. Give me somebody to play in front of, you know? And you're getting out in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people a night and winning them over, kicking and screaming, cheerleading, you know? But it's been great. So hopefully we're going to be doing a lot more stuff. If they go overseas, I'm sure. You know, Ben's always, I remember reading interviews and stuff over when he went away for a while. He was always like, you got to check this band out. So he's been a big, huge advocate of 10 years and really helping us to be able to go get in front of new people. So.
Right. I know where I'm from in St. Louis. Every time you guys come to Pops, it's
sure.
Like wall to wall.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We used to go there in a van, like in our first days of touring, you know.
Yeah.
Those were like the very beginning. I always think about that when we go there and played in front of 20, you know, maybe 50 people, you know.
And now you can barely get in the place.
Yeah, on a good night, on a good Friday night.
Oh my God, 10 years is coming. I got to get my tickets now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. That's old school Parcan lights, too, where it cooks your head. It's great. Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool club. It's out in the middle of nowhere, though.
I know.
It's like, there are strip clubs everywhere. Strip clubs everywhere. I'm sure my wife loves that.
I know, right? So, speaking of your wife, you guys have been married, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, I've known her since I was 13 and she was 16. And then we reconnected and she was married. Now she's married to me. So, the best way to say it.
Yeah.
She was married to an anesthesiologist. Now she's married to a broke musician.
So, you guys are getting ready to go to Australia. When you guys go to different countries, do you get to sightsee, explore?
This time we are, because we're doing it old school, because that's all we can really afford to go. The flights over there are like, you know, $8,000 to $12,000,
right.
And getting there and back, depending on. So we're getting a van and no techs, just our tour manager and sound guy, and we're doing it old school. But we're gonna get, I've been to Australia, but I've never been to this Australia, because this is gonna be like driving in a van and traveling kind of the back roads of Australia. But you know, Dead Letter Circus is like, they're just great to us. There's a camaraderie going on with Australian bands, because Australia is where rock music is really thriving.
Yeah.
It's not turning out that old same homogenized song that we've all heard 1,000 times, the
right.
Radio jingle, if you will. So they're doing something artistic and chasing bands like Mars Volta, Faith No More, all these wonderful bands that don't sound like a Nickelback, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to anybody. They've done successful for themselves, but music to me was always a form of art. And it should be a form of expression. And I grew up playing in punk bands, and that was more important than even the way how you played or how good you were. It was what it meant and where it came from. So that's one thing that's definitely lost in the States, but still around enough. In the States, but it's just a struggle. You know, everybody's keeping up with the Kardashians and keeping up with money and bling and yada yada. I got so much of this, but.
Right.
Which really originally was kind of rock and roll in the beginning.
So how do you guys go from Autumn Effect to From Birth to Burial, keeping your humble selves and staying true to your 10-year sound?
Well, I mean, we're humble country boys, but we still believe in what we do. Where there's a, you know, the difference I think in that is the difference in flashy or whatever, and and you know, it's basically if you earned it, and we've earned it. We've worked our asses off in the gutters and in you know working clubs, refining our show, becoming a better live band, having members quit. I'm the only guy left from the original lineup of 1998, and then you know Jesse used to, our singer used to come watch us, and so you know to be able to have guys come in and play, and then the band's progressed in a way live that's different again too. Our drummer Kyle was a metal drummer, so it adds this dynamic of like a heavy, like a metal kind of, his feet are ridiculous, and I'm like a punk guy, and Chad, the guitar player, who's in a great band called Maylene and the Sons Disaster, he is a technician on the guitar, and then you got a bass, Ryan Collier, he's from a band called Fair to Midland.
Played with them in St. Louis.
We stole bass because they were done, and he was amazing. He puts on a hell of a show and is a great musician. So it's like, and Jesse's found himself. He'd come out there and whatever. He's got always got some crazy outfit on. And it's like, we don't look like any band out there, which I'm really proud of that. When you see a band like Faith No More and these bands that I grew up loving, they didn't all look like the same, wearing the same black t-shirt or whatever. They were like, one guy was this way, one guy was that way, one guy, and it creates the sound that's not homogenized radio rock, you know, which is what has happened to, it's like corporate rock is the best way I can say it. And it's sad because that's just the way it is. There's deep pockets behind certain things where these bands can go and have 15 number one songs because record companies bought them, and then they can't even put 100 people in a room.
So do you feel like Minus the Machine was like the first like freedom for you guys?
No, this record to me was the first freedom for me. Minus the Machine was still, you know, still getting there, but to me, this was like a place we needed to be going on Minus the Machine, even though I love Minus the Machine. I thought it sounded too clean. I've always been a punk kid, so I'm like,
Birth to Burial was very dirty and like,
that's the way I want. That's the way I was fighting Brian Bodine, my old dear friend and producer, drummer, guitar player.
And he's been in and out too. Like,
well, he's the producer. Me and him basically started it with Matt Wantlin, and then we've had different players and stuff in the beginning. Lewis Cosby, we all got the record deal together. But you know, getting in there and arguing with Brian again when he's just a producer and not a member of the band is a lot more fun and easy. But not stifling him, because he's like a Dave Grohl guy. I don't ever want to tell him, you know, no, don't do that. Right. No, I would never be like, don't do that just to be an asshole. But I will be like, make it dirtier. Make it sound raw. Make it sound like a real band that's playing, you know, even though it's me and him doing all of it.
Birth to Burial is probably my favorite 10 years album.
It's mine, for sure. Birth to Burial is my favorite song.
I rock out in the car every day to it on my way home from work.
It's like a release.
You know? Just energy and creativity. You can hear it in the music.
Jesse outdid himself too. I always talk about the music because I'm a guitar player, but Jesse, you know, from Birth to Burial, the opening song on it, I mean, it took him like a month or two. I go write music with Brian, and we wrote half the record in 2 weeks or 3/4 of it.
Wow.
We write, we move. We've been playing where we can speak our own language with each other.
We've
been playing a long time together. Yeah. So it was basically drop the kids off at school, go out to his house, do that, and then be home by 2 or 3. Go to the gym on the way home.
So do you feel like with all the generations now that listen to 10 years, do you find there are more kids or more older people?
It doesn't have rhyme or reason. My oldest son goes to school and he's just blown away that kids know
who you are,
who we are.
Even
teachers and stuff, you know, they're like, because he'll start wearing the teachers out about music because he's, you know, been around me this long that he knows that I know. I'm like, no, this is this and that's this and they're chasing that. But that's real hard.
Our almost 16-year-old loves to play Forever Fields and Proud of You on the keyboard.
Oh, sure.
And so he's like,
I love that song,
they're
Forever
so
Fields.
Awesome, Mom. Do they ever play those songs? I'm like, well, they did it at the acoustic show.
I reached out to Dan Donegan from Disturbed. Like, that's the thing. When you've been doing this long, as long as we have, you've got a personal relationships where you can reach out to people like Ben and be like, hey, help. Help us, please. Yeah. We can't keep headlining the same clubs. Yeah. We need to get in front of some new people. And now I think we're at a time we can do it. So if we don't do the Disturb run coming up, I think we're in the for it. If not, we're probably going to do an acoustic tour just to keep it fresh, too.
And that's good thing about festivals like Louder Than Life, too, is that you're playing in front of bands, or in front of crowds that may not have heard you before.
Sure. Oh, work. Well, even the Break and Bend crowds, people are, on my Facebook is on fire right
Seriously.
Now.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, we've been, and Jesse's been up there. Jesse's been on fire. It's the best tour I've ever seen him
you
do.
You guys have been, like,
He's
my
Iggy
go-to.
He's Iggy popping it every day. He's out there standing on the crowd. He'll be doing it today, I'm sure.
You guys have been one of my go-to bands since 2002.
Oh, wow.
How does it feel when fans come up to you and they're like, oh, man, I loved you from before the Autumn Effect?
I'm funny. I don't listen to it, you know, because it's nice and sweet, but you start taking in too many compliments, you might start to believe it, you know.
Oh.
As Jimi Hendrix says, it's distracting.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way. I just like, cool, thank you. I'm always appreciative and grateful and all that, but I just kind of like, oh, cool, you know. I'm glad somebody's listening to it, but I don't walk around any taller. I'm usually like, all right, what's next? That's always what I'm like, what? I don't know what we're going to do on the next record, like guitars and mandolins. I don't know.